Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Join us every weekday at this time to discuss news, spend time in the Word, and receive answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, Kathy. Here we are. This will be airing, I believe, on the Wednesday, the November 19th, which means a week from now will be Thanksgiving and lots of stuff coming up and opportunity for everybody to have travel plans. I imagine it's one of the biggest travel weeks of the
calendar. You guys, will your gang be in Colorado? Will you be going down to Texas?
We're going to be in Colorado. The boys are going to be coming home for Thanksgiving from school.
Nice.
I think I'll have to look at the calendar, but I think this is after Joshua was a guest on our podcast. He did get selected to go to work for Lockheed Martin.
Nice.
And he's been, you know, they offer you a position and then they select certain people to say you can apply for entering the leadership program. Mm-hmm. So it's more than just coming in as a, an analyst, but rather you're going to be moved around for 3 years, trained to become a manager. Mm-hmm. And he got selected for that.
Nice.
So he had to go through interviews.
And he's in his senior year now. So this will start
in the summer.
Post-graduation.
Yep. Summer of 26. And his first location, which they've already told him, is Orlando, Florida. So he's going to get to be there. So that'll be fun for him.
And so he's there for a year as part of this leadership
Probably
training.
A year. And then they'll let him know after that where he goes next.
Okay.
What they do, it's kind of simple. They teach him leadership and management principles, and then they move him into different, he'll be in the missiles and aircraft.
Mm-hmm. Which is perfect for him because that stuff really intrigues him.
It really does. And he'll move then to a different location to be with different people and learn a different aspect of the business.
Right.
So it's moving them around to really become a manager. So he's been blessed and he knows this is right for him. And God said yes. And the good news is it's already all settled. He didn't even have to worry about it, where he's going to go. So that's kind of fun.
That is exceptional. I love that.
So that's quite remarkable to have that. It's fun to be part of it and walk them into it. And, when your grandchildren are learning to follow God's will and actually follow God's will. It's quite fun, to be part of that.
Absolutely.
We rejoice. We've been talking about, obviously, this issue of forgiveness. Monday and Tuesday, last couple of days, we've discussed, first of all, the truth of what Christ did at the cross. And it's such a beautiful understanding, which is why it was written in the New Testament, this is the way it was done with Israel to get them understanding the concept of what they call propitiation, sacrifice, redemption, and the penalty that was taken by the blood sacrifice to release the burden of the sin, which nobody could achieve by themselves. Mm-hmm. So, obviously they were given the Ten Commandments, but their nature, because of what happened with Adam and Eve, they already had the sin nature. They couldn't be perfect in the following even the Ten Commandments, So he said, you can't get there. So what Christ did, he said, first of all, the way I worked with Israel, who is my chosen people, and to demonstrate the truth of this, they had to go through sacrifices. And the high priest was the one that did it. And then you joined him in saying, I step into that same place. And then Christ came and he did it once and for all, finished it, completed it, and has already now forgiven everybody and never has to be done again. So sacrifice of animals is no longer required because he already did it and he was the sacrifice. Now he said, I offer you redemption and all you have to do is be born again by believing that. And now live out the riches of that life, which is a life of forgiveness. Mm-hmm. In a world of difficulty with self-centered people, that you'll have plenty of opportunity the rest of your life to have to deal with this issue because of self-centered people who are going to hurt you and cross the line of justice. But you can have my nature and you can live in freedom because it's done once and for all. And we get to be part of that. And he said, my nature will be operating in you as you demonstrate it with real forgiveness. So I did want to say one thing about that. When you talk to people, they almost look at it as, okay, I will say I forgive them because I'm supposed to, and they do understand that piece of it. So, okay, I forgive them. What God is saying, what Christ says, is that it's not an intellectual thing. It's through the nature of me operating in your soul, your heart, that actually truly experiences forgiveness for that person, which I've already done, see? Mm-hmm. So when I deal with people around this issue, which everybody has, they can say, oh yeah, I've forgiven. I said, okay, tell me about it, about that person. And as they talk about it, their energy rises. They're upset. And they are obviously demonstrating that, yeah, I said I forgave him, but I really haven't, because it still bothers me.
Right.
And I really don't want to be around him. And what they did hurt me, and I just can't handle that. And God says, well, you haven't really experienced it yet. So forgiveness is truly his nature in us. And what he says is, I'm inviting you, you're a believer, you have the Holy Spirit within you. I'm inviting you to step into the same place I am, which is already forgiven them. So I don't have to do it again. And I don't do it again. I already did it once and for all. For who? For that person that hurt you. On the same basis I did for you when you came to know me. So say, I got to spend time with that in the Word and with God. Give me the truth, the experience of real forgiveness, which means that if I really have forgiven somebody, I could now talk to them with honor and respect. I don't have any sense that I never want to be around that person again.
Right.
Because if that's how I feel, I really haven't forgiven them.
And no sense that person owes you anything.
Right.
So I think that's a big thing. I think a lot of times we think we've forgiven, but we are still thinking, well, as soon as they ask for it.
Yeah,
and
they got to set this straight. No, that you can live in forgiveness, and my nature is operating, and it's truly there because of what I've done. And we talked about the riches of his life that is so privileged. We're so privileged with that. Is now you can live in freedom. It's not going to bother you. It's not going to cause you to be obsessed by it. You're not going to keep focusing on, I got to do it, I got to do it, I got to do it. And I can show you how to resolve that relationship so that it goes from forgiveness, which we'll get into down the next couple of weeks. But how do I then work through the possibility of reconciliation to a resolution? Right. So I know where it stands. I know where I stand with it, and it's over with. And there's nothing more for me to be part doing other than when I have a boundary, I just have to live out that boundary. But he says, I'll get you there all the time, but we can't bypass forgiveness.
Right.
Why? Well, because that's the nature of Christ. So what we want to do is talk a little bit now about the beauty of that. If you think about, when you look at forgiveness, it's what he fulfilled at the cross when he took on the penalty for death and sin. And he became the one that had to take that on our behalf based on his own nature. And we're all forgiven. Well, the good news is that it didn't stop just at that. It's that, well, I was resurrected. I live in the resurrection. And the power of that now can be yours as you work that through on individual situations. So the goal, which is part of the forgiveness, is, take up the cross, stand on forgiveness, and follow me. And he says, I'm in the resurrection. And we want to talk about, what does that mean? What does that look like? And how is that such an important part of forgiveness? So first of all, go to 1 John 4:7-11.
1 John 4:7-11. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only Son, only begotten Son, into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another.
Okay. So he says that love is from God. Love is God. And he says it was manifest by the Father doing what? What did he do?
By his sacrifice for us.
Yeah. By he sent his Son that we might live through him. Mm-hmm. And that he might live through us. So that he said the key is, yes, he was a propitiation for our sin. Stand on that place and now walk through the life of God in you, which is to express love toward others. Mm-hmm. And you're the physical representative of the invisible God. So how is somebody going to learn the love of God? Well, they have to come to a understanding that they're separated from God. So an unbeliever has to come to an understanding, you're separated from God. You can't earn your way there. And all these religions of the world are of no value to you. Rather, it's what Christ has already done, which is forgiven you and died on your behalf so that you can now have a relationship with him. And so he said, love, since I love them. Now, by the way, I can't force them to accept me. Mm-hmm. So I'm not asking you to do that either. You can't do it. They have to make a choice. They have to process that truth. He said, what I want to do, live my life through you, the resurrection, is in forgiveness, which I've already done, offer them the opportunity to experience what it means to have life with God that they have to make a choice to. And my love is going to be expressed through you to others, particularly those that have hurt you. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. So... Whoa, excuse me.
Bless you.
Yeah, thank you. So you'll be the representative of that. And then if it's just to a believer, it would be that they've already made that commitment and they have Christ within them, but they still may have hurt you. They still may have harmed you. They still may have crossed that line of justice, which actually for believers, it's other believers that actually are kind of the ones that hurt the most. Okay, now this is interesting and you could appreciate this. Why would a fellow believer who hurts me and isn't really sorry about it, why does that hurt me the most?
I think our expectations are higher of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? What do we expect?
We expect them to walk in forgiveness. We expect them to walk in grace. We expect kindness and peace and joy. We expect fruit of the Spirit, you know?
Yeah. Because if I offend Linda and she comes to me and says, hey, something you did here was an offense to me and it caused me hurt and you crossed the line of justice. If I'm a believer following God, my reaction is, oh, I'm so sorry. Help me understand it. Yep, I see that now. I'm sorry. How can I make it right? And that's what everybody would expect, a believer to think that way, because that's how he wants us to think. Well, what happens when they don't is I don't care.
Right. Or they go straight to defensive.
Yeah. Or I'm going to spin it and actually cause why it's your fault. And I'm not willing to deal with the truth at all. That's a hard place to be. And he says, well, even to them, I want you to express my love. Okay. What? Starts with forgiveness. Mm-hmm. You can talk to them with honor and respect. Would you like to process this with me in honor and respect and in calmness, either yay or nay? If they say yes, help them work through it, which they'll learn something, by the way, about the life of God if they say, yeah, I'd like to learn that. Mm-hmm. Or they reject it. He says, well, I'll show you what to do with that, so that love, interesting enough, isn't to accept what they decided not to do. Mm-hmm. Well, okay, whatever. No, I got to show you what that means. I got to show you what that looks like. So he said, our life is to be a life of love, but not what I call sappy love. Mm-hmm. And sappy love would be accept everything that anybody ever does. And if they're going to hurt me, and I guess I should just put up with it.
Right.
And God says, no, that's not it at all. It's what do we want? We want them to learn. Think about how simple this is. We want those to learn, unbelievers, to know me and start to walk with me. Believers that know me but aren't walking with me, I want them to walk with me. Mm-hmm. Now, in order for you to be my representative of love, what's going to be important for you?
You've got to be walking
with me. Yeah. He said, see, you have to be walking with me. Mm-hmm. And that'll mean forgiveness. And then I'll show you what love really looks like toward that other person. and you'll be my representative because you'll be in the, in other words, think of it, again, I keep thinking of it really simple. Christ is in me, so my heart needs to align with his nature. Mm-hmm. And I'm in the same place in my living it out as he is already, which means he's already forgiven him. I got to be in that same place. He's going to offer reconciliation. I got to be in that same place. Mm-hmm. He can't force reconciliation. I got to be in that same place. He doesn't let somebody not being reconciled burden him and take him to a place where there's a burden on his heart. He still feels for them. He still invites them to, but it doesn't change the beautiful life that he has. I got to be in that same place. Mm-hmm. So keep thinking forgiveness is a clarity of being in that same place. Okay. Now go over to John chapter 11, I think it's 17 to 27.
Yes. Says, so when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Mary and Martha to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives, believes in me, and believes in me, shall never die. Do you believe this? And she said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world.
Yeah. So, you know, this is Mary and Martha, and Lazarus got sick. They went and got him. Hey, would you come and heal him? Yep, I'm coming. Purposely didn't come right away. Mm-hmm. And he delayed. Well, while he delayed, and he delayed purposely, Lazarus has died, and he's already been buried.
Right.
So he said he's in the tomb, you know, for a couple of days. And so she said, had you come, I already believe, Jesus, that you're the healer. Mm-hmm. And had you come, he would have been healed. Hmm. And in essence, why didn't you come?
Why? Yes. My expectation was that you're going to show up for me on this one.
Yeah. And I know you love him and, you know, and you certainly have the power to, I had no trouble believing that. Why didn't you come? And he says, well, I want to demonstrate something even bigger than this, which ultimately will be his healing. But let me help you understand it. He says, I am the resurrection. Mm-hmm. Okay, now he's still living. He hasn't died yet. Why could he say that? I am the resurrection. Because he already knew that the Father had said, that's what's going to happen.
Mm, right.
Yes, you're going to your death, which by the way, you're going to have to struggle through in the Garden of Gethsemane. But as you die, you will then be resurrected into the newness of life and demonstrate to the world that the resurrection is the important piece of the life of God, mm-hmm. that it's not just dying for sin, that's good, but you get to live eternally and live in that power of the resurrection. So he says to Mary and Martha, I am the resurrection. Do you believe that? Mm-hmm. And she says, no, not really. I do know that you're the Son of God and that you ultimately will get there, but I'm not fully understanding what you're saying, but I can receive what you're saying. And then Lazarus is resurrected. And it started to become clear is, oh, there's life. In other words, there's life after death. And mm-hmm. you're going to be that. And your life is going to be the life of the resurrection, which I needed to demonstrate to you that it's not just the sacrifice mm-hmm. that was done so that your sins are been taken care of. Rather, now, you know, and again, it's such a beautiful thing that we don't appreciate fully is that now you can live that life with me as you go through joining me in that same place.
Right.
So putting to death the flesh, If you, first of all, as an unbeliever, if you say, I receive that, I understand it, and I accept it, please come into my life. And he said, I've placed the Holy Spirit within you, which actually will have a verse here coming up tomorrow about that. And then you'll have the Holy Spirit. And now that you have gone through the sacrifice piece of it and joined me in that, now live with me in the power of the resurrection, which is, now that you're living here, how do I manage life that's going to be unfair? How do I manage people that are going to cross my line of justice, that make me angry, that hurt me, that harm me, that come against me? He said, well, that's all going to occur in the life of the resurrection. But you can't get there unless you go to the place of forgiveness, which is the death, and then starts the life. So think of it this way, is that, is my goal just to forgive them? No, it's to start with forgiveness. And now, Father, what would you have me do to live the life of the resurrection as I walk with you now into resolution of this relationship? But I can't bypass forgiveness.
Right.
I have to stand in that position and then get to the life of it. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. And that's where he said, I want you to live there. And he said, living in the resurrection is a life of joy, a life of peace, a life of freedom, a life of forgiveness that all characterizes the life of the resurrection. And it starts with forgiveness, which then moves you into the life of peace, joy, and freedom, which is where he wants you to live so that you can enjoy the covenant, the blessings, and how you can be my representative of love to others in the relationships. Again, not our sappy view of love, where we think, well, if I just accept what they're doing to me, isn't that holy? He said, no, it's not, actually, because you're not leading them to truth, see?
Right.
And you're going to live my life out. So Heavenly Father, we do understand that. How beautiful that you said that you are the resurrection. You live in the resurrection. Your life is in the resurrection. And we can have that life within us, the powerful life of that, the beautiful life of that, and the free life of that. And we just pray that we'll understand it. It goes through the death of self, which means that we come out of that with forgiveness, because that's what you've done, in order to live out the life of the resurrection. And we pray that we'll receive that, we'll understand it, and that we'll start to live in freedom because we're willing to go to the same place you are, which is forgiven those that have hurt us. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for sharing, Rich, and thank you, listeners, for joining us. If you have questions from today's broadcast, send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com, and we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep. See you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.